Hello, welcome to the Comedians of Wrestling podcast. You're back and you're ready to go, and so am I. We got a lot to cover today, so I'm going to get all this housekeeping out of the way first. Rate and subscribe to my podcast. Give it 5 stars because it deserves it. This is a 5-star performance and this is a 5-star podcast, please. And write your thoughts in the reviews about the current product, and we'll read them here on the podcast. Okay, every week I have a funny comedian dude who also loves wrestling, or chick. We've had women on here, too. And this week's no exception, Mr. Mike Carlson, returning to the show. Returning to the show.
Thank you for having me.
Can you hear? You got the headphones all settled?
Yeah, it's good. It was a little loud. It's good.
All right, Alexis, you got this worked out? All right, good, because we got too much to cover, which is actually the first thing I kind of want to talk about. When is there too much wrestling?
They're already.
When is there too
now,
much?
Right now.
This
for
right
sure.
Now we're hitting the age of too much content.
Yeah. Well, yeah, in general, everything, there's too many podcasts, there's too many TV shows, there's too many, you know, there's too much
there's
everything.
Not too many podcasts.
I'm sorry. There's okay? just
that's
there's
a
just
non-bo.
The right.
Let's call it, that's a non-combo. Okay.
Just the right amount of podcasts right now.
Yes. Good. You don't want to counteract this because this is a podcast, Mike. Did I tell you what this is?
I know. Look, I know it's a podcast. I didn't say this was one of the too many. I said this is one in the right. This is a sweet spot. Mm-hmm. There's excess on the outlet. There's anyway.
That's right. So yeah, because like I'm at this point where it's like there's too much. I want to be informed for the podcast, but also like I don't want my wife to see that I'm watching this much wrestling. It's too much.
Yeah,
it's like I'm watching Raw, SmackDown, Cruiserweight Classic, Battleground,
back in NXT
coming up.
NXT, Cruiserweight Classic, Battleground, Raw, SmackDown, all in a week.
Yeah, it's insane. I mean, and particularly this week has been insane. But like, so this hits on the podcast because normally we record on Tuesdays and we release these on Wednesdays. But now SmackDown has become a relevant show that I have to.
Well, let's see.
Ingest.
Let's see.
Well, yeah, that's actually was something I'm thinking is like that the schedule of this podcast right now, we're going to have to start recording Wednesdays
right.
for now and move to Thursdays. And we'll see if SmackDown can be a show I watch on a week delay.
Right.
But as of now, the WWE Championship, the heavyweight title, is
right.
on SmackDown.
The one with all the history.
Yeah. John Cena on SmackDown. Randy Orton on SmackDown. Mm-hmm. Dolph Ziggler on SmackDown. There's enough talent on SmackDown where it's ingestible. We got to have it.
Right.
So, anyway, let's get
where
into it.
Where do you begin?
Yeah. So, let's talk about the draft.
Yes.
So, the draft happened last week on the podcast. I did a fantasy draft, and the draft was nothing like my draft. At all. My very well thought out scribbled draft that on the Twitter you can see my beautiful artwork at Kyle Podcast. And yeah, like the draft, they kind of just did exactly what I was hoping they wouldn't do, which is just split the rosters kind of recklessly and make Raw the better show clearly.
No, they did exactly that because I also did a they had on the website they had like a draft your own rosters, so I did that and mine was, you know, what I think probably not dissimilar to yours, where I was like the better the wrestlers, the indie guys are more on SmackDown, Raw has the bigger, I guess, personalities or whatever. But no, they just took, you know, they just cut right down the middle and went, whatever.
They made Raw the premier roster.
Yeah, oh, 100%.
Yeah, and which, I mean, look, I understand it, but all it does is hurt guys that are on SmackDown, like Bray Wyatt. It's like, okay, what can he do there?
Right, and well, this is getting ahead of it, but Raw was one of the greatest shows I've ever seen.
This Raw was
unbelievable.
Oh, we'll get to it after we discuss the draft, after we discuss Battleground.
I know.
The Cruiserweight Classic, and then we'll get to Raw if we have time for it.
All I'm saying is that the roster is still pretty good on SmackDown. It's just the way it's presented is going to be the big thing. It's just going to be like there's a lot of guys who have been around for a while on that SmackDown roster that they need to present them in new ways. They need to make stuff feel fresh, and they didn't necessarily do it last night. So I'm just saying, there's a bunch of good people on SmackDown, even though Raw is a little more stacked.
Well,
but
yeah.
It's up to them to book it better.
Right. So Raw was awesome.
Amazing.
I agree.
Unbelievable.
Raw was amazing. It was
unbelievable.
It blew my mind. They announced the title. So that thing, there's going to be two separate titles. They announced the new title, the WB Universal title, because of the WB Universe, as Mick Foley is tried to say. But yeah, so so that is already squashed. They're already going to have two titles on the show. So
right.
Yeah, it did feel like I watched Raw. I loved Raw. Then I watched SmackDown, and it felt like the same exact show with just different wrestlers. Yeah. And even the blue feels it's and you know this is ingrained from years and years of SmackDown being the B show, and they're calling Raw the flagship. They're acknowledging that Raw is the flagship show. It's just like the blue. It looks like the cheaper show.
Yeah, but I think that's just you've been conditioned. It's conditioned for so long. And the fact that, because Raw was, look, I remember though when Raw, when I liked SmackDown better, which is when SmackDown 6, blah, 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 blah. Like, I do remember thinking like, oh, Raw was like the weaker show. So I do remember when I used to associate Red with weaker. But now, I mean, it's just been years and years of SmackDown. I don't know if Vince thinks like in his old age that like WCW created SmackDown. I don't know what.
Yeah, I'm not sure. I mean, I think they had an opportunity to differentiate the two. And even the cruiserweight division's going to Raw, which like everyone's vision of what SmackDown should be with Daniel Bryan at the helm and Shane at the helm is that it would be like it would have the good wrestling. And cruiserweight is all about the wrestling. So
So SmackDown already starting with a bullet in its leg as it's going through this race.
And on top of that, they also keep doing this thing on SmackDown, which I thought we'd talk about later, but Daniel Bryan and Shane keep pushing this, you know, like wrestling do, repeat the same thing over and over, find something and just run it into the ground. And the thing they're running into the ground is the idea that, like, SmackDown is about the wrestlers.
Right.
Right? But then they come out and Daniel Bryan's doing the yes chant.
Right.
They keep blasting Daniel Bryan's music and making it all about Daniel Bryan. You know, I don't know. I guess the way they made it about him was because, like, oh, one of the spots in the tournament for the number one contender spot is going to be just open to a battle royale. But I don't know necessarily that they proved to me, like, this is about the talent more than Raw. And even there was an interview between Mick Foley and Daniel Bryan during Battleground, I believe, where they're like, how your show is going to be different. And then SmackDown was like, it's about the talent. And then Mick was like, you know, took the answer out of my mouth. That's what he said. So they just agreed on what the show is going to be.
And this is getting ahead again, but if it's about the talent, there was nothing but action on Raw. At Raw was great. The matches were great. And then we had like one pretty good match on SmackDown. And it was not. There was a lot of like hyping and, hey, these guys will be here next week. These guys will be here next week.
They introduced all the SmackDown Divas division. Women's. Division. I guess it felt like Divas because it felt a little bit.
So
the draft is a little bit like they split it. Even the draft show.
Oh my
God. The SmackDown
draft show in the world.
Was such a bad show. I was so excited for it all summer.
I was very excited.
They didn't use it as an opportunity to establish story. It was very much like, all right, it was just drafting and we'll have matches in between that were like inconsequential. And then let's have an inconsequential pay-per-view on that Sunday. Had matches that like the Wyatts won, but then the Wyatts are now disbanded.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like nothing mattered about that pay-per-view. I even wrote here to move us along. This pay-per-view is pointless. We shouldn't even cover it except for the Shield match.
Right. No, there was very little of actual substance that was going to affect anything going forward. I think it was just a timing thing with USA wanting.
That's what I had read.
But still, that draft show, like the wrestlers were coming out and not even reacting to them on stage, except for Owens. They weren't like Cena comes out and he hasn't been drafted yet, and he's just like smiling and like goes to the ring. It's like, wouldn't you like look at them like, hey, what's the deal? Like, no one was acknowledging the reality of what was happening.
Right.
And then none of the matches, nothing had anything to do with anything. And then Kane chokeslams.
Right.
Owens, that's what I'm saying. It was just random nonsense.
They're pushing this all week, all summer, that this is the draft show. It's like, at least when you draft somebody, have them come out, cut a promo, maybe have somebody come out and ask to be drafted to a certain show and draft them somewhere else. Like, have fun with the fact that it's scripted. Don't just make it. Which actually I heard someone say they wanted it to be drafted like real sports. I'm like, that's what they did, and it was boring because of that.
Right.
Like, this they were just like, enough. I'll, you know, it was just like, all right, I'll take someone, you'll take someone, and then let's see what happens when they actually fight. It's like, no, it's a wrestling show. We're in the show.
Right.
We're in the first SmackDown Live show. Make this the show. Have somebody get drafted and then, you know.
Yeah. It's
tired and sore. So anyway, I thought the draft show was pretty atrocious.
It's a dud, yeah.
And I was really excited for it. Like, I couldn't watch it live, so I was, like, trying to avoid spoilers. And then honestly, my buddy was like, hey, he was a little bit behind, and I was like, and he was like, should I watch it? I was like, you know what, you could just look at the draft list. Because that's all it was. It was like, it was just kind of like a you know, just a draft. Now, the big surprise of it was Finn.
Well, I mean, but we knew he was
not
going.
A surprise.
I was
going to
say
Finn
he knew he
drafted.
Was going. Yeah, so it was like, yeah, sure. But that was, I mean, I guess that's the closest thing to a surprise.
It wasn't a surprise. It was the most exciting part. But even that, they just drafted him and you didn't see him.
Right, he didn't come out. He didn't do anything. He didn't make a, like a declaration of anything. Who cares?
Exactly. I guess he did. They did. He was down at NXT. And they had, that's how they did it. The NXT guys, like, were all watching at the Performance Center, a screen. But even that is like, that's treating it too much. That's treating it too much like, oh, you know, we know he knows already. Have him come out. Have him have a have him have a squash match or something.
Yeah, and also, like, they're acting, who, like, I guess American Alpha got drafted, and then Mojo Rawley, though, he got drafted off the air.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's like there wasn't even like, oh, my God, Mojo Rawley made it. That's crazy. And then you get to see him be excited because he didn't think it was going to happen. So, like, what's the point?
Carmella, Alexa Bliss, and Mojo Rawley, they all got drafted off the air.
Right. So who cares? So why do we even cut away to that?
Right. That, well, that's the other part is that there was a draft special on the network happening simultaneously, and that was better than the SmackDown show.
Right.
So it was I don't know. It was just, you know. And then the other, while we're getting into the draft, they also split up the announcers in a way that makes no sense to me either.
Well, they David Otunga and
JBL
and
Moro. Moro's the best announcer, I think, that
Moro's
got right now. Although I still like the King when he announced. But Moro's amazing. And then they put Corey Graves on Raw. And Corey Graves is like, I can't even differentiate who when Byron's talking and when Corey Graves talking.
Well, Byron isn't great.
No.
Corey Graves is okay. I like Corey.
He's
fine.
Okay, but like, they have who's their color guy?
I was going to say, you want a guy, though, that's a little bit more of a personality doing something. I don't know that I love JBL, but I do think you need a guy who's at least like a little more colorful.
I don't like JBL at all, actually. I've been very critical of JBL. I think he's an atrocious announcer. But when you hear this Raw, when you hear that booth, I was like, wanted JBL back because I was like, just give me a voice that I can grab onto.
Because like if it was like Moro calling and then Corey doing color, like that makes more sense because Moro actually then has the bigger, colorful voice.
Right, even though Corey's the play-by-play guy.
Right, which is unusual, but it makes sense just to have that juxtaposition.
Yeah, so I don't know. A lot of weird stuff, but overall, I said a lot of negative things, and this is going to contradict it all.
Sure.
I get excited about the fact that there's two shows because it hits into why I wanted to draft the way I drafted in the first place. I was like, they don't really have the balls to push Kevin Owens. Like, they don't have the balls to push these guys, and they're in their prime. If you look back in history, you see a guy like Eddie Guerrero, who I don't know if he would have got a push if there wasn't two belts.
Yeah, right.
You know what I mean? Like, it's almost because WWE doesn't, they don't have the guts to get behind a Kevin Owens fast.
Right.
You know, or maybe guts is being too harsh. Maybe it's because it's a public company and, like, they need a guy like Cena at the helm. They need, like, a proven guy or a guy that looks good.
Well, Vince is a very conservative guy, and I believe that, like, there's only a couple guys that come around in his lifetime that are going to actually, like, really convince him that they're to be trusted with the company, the keys to the company. So I think that he gets really skittish about pushing guys that he hasn't always sort of thought. I mean, obviously, Cena, he worked his way up, but, like, Orton is a guy who they knew always, and he's sort of, like, Orton's always had his spot.
Right.
Just because, like, Owens was not a... Owens was not ordained.
No.
Preordained, excuse me.
Yeah, but So it's like Punk, it's like reminds me of CM Punk.
Right.
Where like, remember they gave him the belt quick and they were like, this isn't working. He like cashed in, I believe. And then they like took it away from him. And that's when they had two belts too, I believe.
Yeah. I mean, this forces them to at least try a couple guys out getting the title. We'll see if Vince like gives Finn the title, if he actually likes him, if he keeps the thing going. But at the very least, it's sort of forcing him to try.
Right.
Forcing him to try a couple guys out.
Because he's like, well, yeah, we have two champions, so one can be safer.
Right.
And if they differentiate, if they play it where it's like the SmackDown one, that's where John Cena is the champion currently. And in the other show, let's try AJ Styles as the champion. Right? Even though AJ should be, in their minds, I hope
he's way proven that he could be a champion. Yeah.
Well, that's what supposedly that's what Vince does think that. Supposedly Vince is actually like, I wish we signed this guy 10 years ago.
Oh, yeah.
Surprise, which of course he is, but like that's, I would have thought that he, like AJ would be jobbing to like the social outcast by now.
I mean, I don't think it's true. I think everything happened for AJ the right timing, even though he's old. It's too old for, like, physically he should have been signed 10 years ago.
Right.
But at the same time, like, the Bullet Club stuff is what made him awesome.
Yeah, that, I mean, that gave him the extra heat that made, and the same with Gallows and Anderson.
I don't know if he would have been able to get that out in it, within the...
No, the time, I mean, he said it too, the timing is everything with this, where it was like, it gave whatever heat, whatever perceived heat he had, I don't know if it's dyeing that hair maybe, and that beard.
Yeah.
All of it, the look, all of
his
it.
His mom haircut?
His mom haircut, because he doesn't wet down.
No, he doesn't like to wet down. He keeps it fluffy like a beautiful bird.
That's right.
Just like Enzo. But yeah, so I think that ultimately that's what excites me, is that like we could see even Dolph Ziggler, who he's getting his shot now.
I hope.
I mean, whatever. He's at SummerSlam. Right. He's going for the title.
Yes, that's true.
He has a title shot. If SummerSlam had one belt and you got John Cena healthy, you got Randy Orton healthy, you got Brock Lesnar healthy but on steroids, and you got a bunch of guys, Vince is not going to have the guts to risk his SummerSlam show on Ziggler.
Right.
That's just proven. But if he's like, if there's two, we get that. So it's up to us to recognize that, like, not get two in our heads. Don't let the fact there's two belts dilute it too much. See one belt as the cool belt, like I've been saying, and see one belt as the corporate belt.
Right.
And I don't know which it'll be from time to time. Anyway, so let's get into... So that's what happened. I mean, you know. This is what happened. We got two belts. We got two shows. Let's see how it plays out. Battleground. What do we want to cover there? The Shield three-way match. I thought it was really great.
Yeah, it was great. I mean, it gets overshadowed by the Sammy-Kevin match a little bit, just because that one's a better match with more history. Well, I take that back now. I guess the Shield does a lot of history. But no, I mean, that triple threat was really good. I thought Dean was not going to win like that cleanly. Like, that really proves to me that Roman is getting a little bit of a deep push right now.
Yeah. And so I think that I knew Dean Ambrose would win. I said I thought Rollins would win, but last week. But that night I was like, oh, they're going to let Ambrose win and they're going to put that title on SmackDown. Like, once I saw the draft results, I was like, they need the belt on SmackDown because they didn't put the talent on SmackDown.
I thought that Seth and Dean were going to be pinning Roman at the same time and they would split the belts. Like that way.
Oh, I figured since they kind of did that at Raw, or what was it? Yeah, it was Raw before, or maybe SmackDown. When did they do the double pin last week? Or like 2 weeks ago?
But Vince doesn't remember shows from a week to week. So I always, because they do that, this is complaining a lot, but like they do like two roll-ups in a row on Matt. Yeah. And you're like, what? Didn't they know that they just did that?
Yeah.
Why would they do that?
So, yeah, right.
So I still thought, oh, they're going to do the same. They're going to do that.
Yeah, I was like, I just felt like they wouldn't do it. But yeah, but the Ambrose clean win is interesting because it does bring that belt will always be like the more important belt to me because it was the one that existed before, the Universal title being the new one. I can't imagine, you know. So it is interesting, but why not get hard behind Dean Ambrose?
Yeah, of course.
He seems like the guy who needs the belt to be believably up there. Like Rollins can be a big caliber guy because the crowd loves him.
Well, yeah, I mean, the crowd loves Dean too, but like Rollins had the title for months and months and months. So like, I feel like his credibility in the eyes of the fans is a little bit higher. Whereas Dean was just having these matches where he was constantly being defeated by just random objects, toaster, or not a toaster, like TV. He unplugged the TV and sparks flew and he would get defeated. Yeah. Like he was constantly in matches where he was just made to look like a fool.
Yeah.
The Lesnar match, he looked like an asshole, looked like an idiot.
Yeah, he had a tough year, Ambrose. So,
You have to rebuild him of the three. I mean, not, I guess Reigns has to be rebuilt, but Reigns
is
booked more solidly than. Yeah, sorry.
But no, you didn't interrupt it. I'm interrupting you.
Okay.
I'm the rude
continue.
One. But thanks for apologizing
continue.
To me.
Yeah.
I'm the
very
heel.
Polite.
I'm the heel of this podcast.
I'm very polite, yeah.
Is Roman Reigns is being punished, but it's actually building him up.
Yeah, well, because you're saying just because he's getting more, he's a heel.
because it's real. Like, remember, so he's being treated like shit by the authority for an actual reason.
Right.
Remember for like a year they tried to play him the Daniel Bryan card on Roman Reigns. It's just not like the authority's pushing him down. He's getting close to winning, but like they don't want him up there. And it's like, why not? He looks like a heel. You've been saying you want someone who's the face of the company. That's his whole deal, is that he is a face of the company. He's got a great look. It didn't feel authentic, but now it's like, oh, he violated the wellness policy, and they brought him back, and like he's grown this beard, and he feels like a natural heel because of that, and they're punishing him for it. It's actually making him – it's giving me some empathy for him,
but it's giving,
working.
But it doesn't seem like it's working for the audience. The audience seems like his heat on him is nuclear level. Like, it seems like almost like we're approaching like X-Pac heat.
Well, I mean, I think that they were booing him, but I actually felt like they were booing him a little bit. But
he's going to be such a sad sack in a couple months that the audience is going to turn around.
Well,
I don't
know. Think part of it is that he also isn't speaking much.
Yeah.
He hasn't gotten the microphone. He had that one line against Finn. And we'll get into Finn in a second because I feel like he deserves our attention.
Oh, yeah.
He was like, oh, you know, when they were going head-to-head, he was like, hey, good luck. And he was like, yeah, I don't need luck because I'm Irish. We invented luck. And then he was like, I'm Samoan, and walked away. I was like, I like that. I think that's pretty cool. I mean, and then he's just being a badass in the ring. Like, he's doing some big spots in the ring, and his wrestling's good. I think Roman Reigns is a good wrestler.
I do, too.
Yeah.
I've always thought that.
So he's just wrestling. So it's like, yeah, they're booing him, and they're booing him for a reason that's real, not just because he's being forced, pushed, and winning. And then he's losing also. It's just all working. It's going to work to his advantage.
I'm interested to see. I'm not saying it's not going to work to his advantage. I think they should just lean into it a little bit more with the heel stuff, because the audience seems to hate him more. The boos were louder at Battleground and on Raw than they had been before he even left, I feel like. I feel like they were strong, at least as strong. So, like, I'm wondering if you have to lean into the heel stuff for him to actually kind of turn around. Because he is like, he is very good.
I guess so, but I think he'll blow it. If he starts having to, like, if he has to start insulting, like, the hometowns, like,
no, he doesn't.
they're in trouble. But if he starts acting good, but he keeps losing.
Well, but I think he has to just do dickish things. I don't think he has to go. No one wants him on the mic insulting the local hockey team.
Yeah.
Because he's going to do a bad job of it.
Yeah.
And everyone's just going to hate him more.
Like, yeah, you guys boo me, but at least you're not as, you don't suck as, I don't suck as much as the Calgary Flames.
Calgary, like, he's like that smirk on his face. It's just, I think he needs a new look. I think I need new outfit, yeah. new music. I think maybe cut the hair.
Ooh.
Maybe chop the hair off too. I think that then you just have him be a bully, and I think you can turn it around. Just have him mow through the mid card, and I think you can kind of heal him, and you can ease the audience out of it.
Yeah.
And get him as just like this cool, badass, quiet kind of face guy that he should have been, you know, 3 years ago when they were trying real hard to make him the underdog, which was never going to work.
Well, I think I think we'll see where it happens with him.
We'll see.
I think I'm predicting this right now. I think we're going to see people into Reigns. Maybe they're booing him, but they're booing him, I think, for the right reasons.
I think they're going to cool him off for literally a month or two, and then around Survivor Series or Royal Rumble, the same exact push that he's been tried every couple of years is going to happen again.
He's going to win the Royal Rumble.
I think
again.
He might win the Royal Rumble. Oh, he's got God. The same Dana. Yeah, it's
going to. You notice they like turn the, like, for that first hit? Because, all right, they took out the part in the beginning when it was the Shield music. It was like, Sierra Hotel. You know, that was my favorite part of the song, was just the what are those call letters?
What did he call those?
For like army speak.
Yeah, whatever. Who cares?
They took that out and they started it just from when the music hits. So I think they turned the music up a little bit when it first plays, and so it goes wano, and then it was panu. Like it tunes down, and they always do it weird.
Yeah,
like it's always kind of messed up. Just check it out.
It's just such a terrible sound hear.
It's called the NATO phonetic alphabet.
Yes, the NATO phonetic. Yeah, I knew that. I knew that. I just, I knew that. Whatever that means. I didn't know that. All right, cool. Yeah, I mean, Roman, you know, he's actually being punished. I don't know. I'm just saying there's an authenticity to Roman Reigns' situation that is real for the first time.
Right.
Stop telling me he's an underdog. He's a gorgeous human being.
Uh-huh.
And yeah, cool. Are they saying he took Adderall? Was that the
that's what I heard the other? Yeah,
you get in trouble for Adderall.
That's crazy. The Adderall test, is that the one? Because didn't someone else fail that too? With Adderall, that is, it's wild. Isn't that what like teens take to stay up?
Yeah, you take that to study.
Yeah, that means everybody I know would everyone I know would. Would fail the WME wellness policy.
Oh, yeah, for
everyone
sure.
Everyone I know would get suspended from WME. Yeah, I mean, that's another thing is that, like, you think about taking Adderall, which is so interesting that he took Adderall, because I was thinking about Adderall as a performance-enhancing drug for, like, writers.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, no one ever goes like, oh, man, that writer's on Adderall.
Or Aaron,
you know what I mean?
Aaron Sorkin doing just, like, performance-enhancing cocaine for years.
Like, you get banned from, you get, like, disqualified from the Oscars for, like, using for using drugs. Like, no, it's encouraged for creativity.
Yeah, it
but
is.
But in wrestling, which is, like, not even actually a competitive sport, you get in trouble for it. But I guess it's just because they don't want
a guy
to
die. Yeah.
It's because they die. But that's my point. So then when you... Adderall will make you die?
I don't really know. Is there what I really should have looked in? Is there like if you take so much Adderall, is there some sort of horrible negative side effect maybe?
Yeah, like, yeah. Hey, Alexis, look up if Adderall can make you die.
Is Adderall any sort of like recovery for something? Like, does Adderall suggest that you were doing something else? Because I know I really should have researched this, but. Like, I know the drug that Brock and what's-his-name were using were to recover from a cycle of steroids. So, like, using
that
drug...
That's what he got busted for?
Yeah, I forget the name. Yeah, I forget the name of the drug, but it's a recovery drug. So, essentially, like, if you're testing for that, it suggests that you were recovering from something. So, I wonder if Adderall is also in a similar way, like, it's something that helps you bounce back from something. Or
right.
Okay, so it affects your heart. So, you can have like strong or irregular heartbeats from taking too much Adderall, but also sudden death.
What?
From taking too much Adderall?
Well, there goes my theory.
Adderall.
Too much. Sudden death is a possible
Yikes
side effect.
Amundo.
Really?
Like psychotic episodes, apparently.
Mm. Oh,
according to this website.
Yeah. Mm.
What website is it?
Addiction blog.
Yeah, you might start hulking up.
So I guess if you take that sudden death thing seems like when the guy came to my school at age when I was 17 and he was just like, if you do ecstasy, you could die immediately. Like
yeah.
That scared thing. But maybe that's true. Maybe that's why they're doing it.
Yeah, I don't know. Well, you know what?
We're not informed about this.
You know what's got my attention?
Mm.
Finn Balor.
Yo, I hear that.
That was a smooth transition. I'm working on my transitions. Let me know how you like the transitions. Alexis is giving me a big thumbs down for that. Mm-hmm. So Finn, his big debut, as strong of a debut as you could have. Now,
wow,
I think this is the only way to debut Finn because it's long overdue.
Right.
To do it. Like if they brought him in for like the IC belt, it would have felt like unexciting.
I thought he was going to have a feud with Jericho and Jericho would beat him first and then Finn would beat him the second pay-per-view. I honestly thought that that's what would happen. And then he'd like kind of get little spots here and there. So this is a shock.
So they did that cool thing. In the beginning of Raw, they brought out I got to give a shout out to Chad Damiani for he was predicting that they would use that setup for the announce booth.
Oh, really?
He was saying they should do that on SmackDown to make it like real sports, but they used it on Raw. So I'll give him that prediction because I didn't even think anything about that. He was like, you should have it overlooking the ring, and it's exactly what they did.
Right.
Interesting. Anyway, so Mick Foley and Stephanie, they brought out the full roster, and then they announced two matches.
Yeah.
Whatever. It was really confusing.
two
fatal four ways leading into a one-on-one on who would face Seth Rollins to be crowned the first ever WWE Universal Champion. So the last person they name is Finn, and they're all out there, and they had Finn, like, hiding?
Yeah, right. He was on there, but he was behind a tall guy.
Yeah, right. And I thought that was actually pretty cool the way they pulled that off.
Yeah.
Because I was looking for him the whole time.
Right. I was looking for him initially, and then I thought they were just going to hit his music, and he would come out.
Right.
But then, he was just, like, behind Kane or whoever. Is Kane on the Big Show?
Big Show is in the...
Who's the tall guy?
Yeah. Kane's on SmackDown. They split those
Kurgan?
Guys up.
Is Kurgan on the Raw roster?
Yeah. Finn came. And then Finn just took the night. I mean, he won that first match with the coup de grace on Rusev, which he did. Like, all of his kicks look super strong. Like, he was very much going for it.
Yeah, and I love that apron kick where he just kicks the guy right in the head. He did that to Rusev earlier.
Are you a big Finn guy?
Oh, yeah, he's great. I love him.
I like Finn. I don't love his moveset.
He has a lot of feet stuff.
Yeah, it's all kicking. It's like Pele kick. It's that apron kick. It's a coup de grace, which is like a kick. He does drop kick. It's a lot of kicking. It's he doesn't have like one move that gets me excited. And I could see, and most wrestlers have a move I like. I mean, this sling blade is kind of cool.
That kick into the corner is pretty cool. That like hard, aggressive kick that looks like it probably could crack someone's sternum.
Yeah, I like that too. He does that well. He sets it up. A lot of the stuff I like is actually in his pageantry, which is very important to me. Like when he comes out, I like the way he like pops his collar. He walks down. Mm-hmm. I like when he puts his arms up. I like the way that when he's on the apron, then quickly before the music drops, he jumps up onto the turnbuckles and to do the arms like in an amount of time that seems to not enough time to do the movement he does. It's hard to explain.
I know what you mean.
I like all that stuff, and I like the way he looks. He's super handsome. His eyes are like crystal blue. I got a man crush on the way this guy looks.
Yeah.
But then when he wrestles, I'm not as into it as I feel like everyone else.
I mean, but those Joe matches were great, especially that one, not the last pay-per-view, or not the last special. The one at Mania, the takeover at Mania. Like, the Cage one was okay, but the one before that's a great match. I don't know, the amount of matches that he's had
when
that are great.
When he was bleeding?
When Joe was bleeding,
was bleeding, I was there, the NXT Dallas. I enjoyed that, but I don't know, something...
He's got a good intensity, I'll say this, he doesn't have like as many power moves or any moves that are kind of as impressive looking. It's a lot of like him jumping and.
Yeah, I mean, you compare him to Rollins and compare him to Cesaro.
Well, right? Cesaro can do every move. Cesaro was like Hercules.
Right. I'm saying like those chuckling. Guys have moves that I'm even Reigns has been doing that. You know, he's doing the razor's edge into a sit down power bomb, you know? I'm like, there's things that I'm just saying. He doesn't have. I wish he had one move that I got really excited for.
Yeah, I mean he's a shorter guy,
and that's another thing. They build him at 190, which I was like, just say he's 200 pounds.
Yeah, you may as well. Although are they? They're probably lying about 190.
Oh yeah,
he's probably 175 or something.
Yeah.
I mean, I will say I don't love the, what do you call it? It's like Goldust's old finisher, that curtain, what did he call it? It's the reverse.
It's the dragon sleeper into
Yeah, but it's just kind of like you lift him up and you drop him down. It's not my favorite move in the world.
Yeah, I don't like that move that much either. What was that called?
I can't think of the move. It's going to be hard for you to look that up.
Well, you can look up Finn Balor and look up his signature moves.
Or Goldust had the shattered
dreams. On the Wikipedia page of wrestlers, it has a signature moves section. And it has like wording to explain how the move goes down. Well, whatever. I mean, Finn got that big push. And his pop seemed good initially, but then later got very exciting. Like when he was winning, people were going a little nuts for him.
Yeah. I mean, I think he's going to be a big hit. I agree. Maybe he could have a couple more like body power moves. But the pageantry, his look, everything about it, I think he's going to be huge. As long as they keep pushing him and they don't ruin him.
Yeah.
I think if they keep him high on the card.
Is it? Okay, we've got a diving double foot stomp to the back of the head.
No, that's a coup de grace.
Well, that's the back of the head one.
Oh, the back of the head one, yeah. Why is that not his finisher?
That's
that one
a good
hurt
move
less?
Too, though.
How does that one hurt less? I was wondering that.
It shouldn't.
Lifting inverted DDT.
That's what it is.
Yeah, I guess that's what it is. That's a clunky way for them to describe it.
Yeah, an inverted DDT. It's more of a neck breaker.
Yeah.
Anyway. Cool. Yeah.
Thank you.
It's a Scorpion Deathlock with a little lift.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
But the Scorpion Deathlock's cooler.
Death Drop.
Oh, Death Drop. Yeah.
What's wrong with us?
Too much. Yeah, cool. All right, well, enough. Finn, I mean, I'm excited to see Finn. One small thing also about his entrance I didn't like. They gave him some, like, lead-up music. You saw that?
Yes.
They had some music before you hear his music drop. I like that a lot. But they did this wide shot where you saw him standing there.
On
the ramp.
Well, they do. A couple of the guys have that too. AJ comes out before the big part of his music where he does the hood off.
But his head is down and he's waiting for the music to drop.
Yeah, I think they're telling a lot of guys to do that. It seems like.
Yeah.
where they kind of are there and you're just watching them wait for the cue.
Yeah, why don't they should have made it dark. While that music's going, make it dark and then have the music hit and he's
totally
there with his back turned.
I totally agree.
He was just standing there and it made him look stupid.
Can we talk about the camera work on these shows?
Yes, we can.
Because
that's not off limits.
I love it.
The other thing I told you, there are things that are off limits.
Okay. But not the camera work.
No, not the camera work. Did you like the camera work?
I loved it. I think they're working some stuff out still, but I thought some of those shots like really get you right in the ring in a cooler way. They're on probably a wire or something,
maybe.
They're
doing the NFL thing.
Right, yeah. Which XFL pioneered.
XFL actually did pioneer it. Yeah. You're right.
So I'm surprised that it's taken them that long to do some of that.
Yeah, they're doing a really cool... They have one angle that I've never seen where it's like birds... It's like almost bird's eye, but it's more of a 45-degree angle of the ring.
Yeah.
Where you see the ramp, you just get like a real... nice view of the whole thing. It makes it look very compact. I enjoy that. Where you can take in the full, you take in the full scope of what's happening.
Yeah, it's great. I think that's
like a squirrel's eye view.
Yes, a squirrel. Thank you, Alexis. Alexis, I'm at a loss for words today. Yeah, perfect analogy. The squirrel eye view, inverted lift DDT.
So I like that. I think that's good. I'm glad they're doing something with that.
I dig
that. I have to say.
Hey. You know what else I dig? Hmm. Our new women's champion.
Oh.
Sasha Banks.
I didn't think that was going to happen.
That was crazy.
She almost, first of all, she almost killed herself in that match.
Which one?
The suicide dive.
Yeah.
I was like, oh my God. Like, that's one of those where like you recoil because you're like, oh, I think she just broke her neck.
Isn't that one of Vince's complaints with her?
He says she goes too hard.
She wrestles to one speed.
She's like Daniel Bryan. That's what he said, supposedly. The match was great. I mean, finally, they didn't let him wrestle at WrestleMania, but this, like, finally they let him have, like, a hard-hitting, cool, long match that seemed to matter, that the audience was into. Because I just out of habit was fast-forwarding stuff on Raw, and then I go, oh, are they going to let Sasha and Charlotte wrestle for more than 5 minutes? And then I was fast-forwarding and went, like, 3 minutes and went, I should probably watch this. And I went back.
You didn't know she was going to win?
No.
Yeah, I got it spoiled for me, which sucked.
Oh.
Because I was a little behind, and I got it spoiled, and it was annoying. But that match was like...
it was probably
WrestleMania
the best,
caliber.
Yeah, it was probably the best match on the show.
It was, I think, definitely the best match of the show, and it was one of those matches where it sounds messed up, but it was like, these are just like two amazing wrestlers. I felt like I wasn't watching women wrestle, like, at all.
Well, because it was presented. Raw likes to present it, usually. Because Vince is just has no view. He doesn't know what a woman is like. He has never interacted with them in a comfortable way. So I definitely feel like this was more of the NXT presentation of it, where you're just, like, watching two women wrestle, and it's, like, not a big deal.
Yeah. There was, like, nothing. It's hard to describe, but there was nothing about it. I was just like, I'm watching a match, and I'm into it. I know this comes off as like sexist because you're just like, yeah, well, why can't you watch any match? But there was nothing about it that felt like not just another match.
Right.
And man.
Well, they're also.
God, Charlotte is so good.
Yeah, they're both so good. That's the number one. Like, they are also, and it's partly the company's fault for not really like, they hadn't been really looking for women that can wrestle 20-minute matches. That was never the thing. It's like up until a couple of years ago, it was pretty much just like bathing suit. If you look good in a bathing suit, you're hired. That's all we really kind of care about because Vince is like a child, a 70-year-old child. But it's like, yeah, it wasn't. It is. It's funny you're saying that, but if you're watching wrestling, that is sort of your expectation is like, oh, you're going to have like a 3-minute match and like the moves aren't going to look very good. And like, obviously these girls are doing it because they want a modeling. They want to get out after a couple of years and then like get on another TV show because they don't really care about this. Whereas these are two people who like really worked their ass off to be good and really care. And
but
it's awesome.
Yeah, I totally agree. It's even like a small thing. I'm trying to put together my thought here and it's like, I think it's even like sometimes I watch the women wrestle and they can't command the ring as much as the men. Like they don't even take up the full ring, you know. Like it's almost like even it's like how in WNBA it's like oh the rim is a little shorter. It's like this ring felt like these were two wrestlers in a regulation size ring and they were using the whole ring.
Yeah.
They were hitting each other as hard as men hit each other. Sasha, I mean, Charlotte had that the moonsault off the
top rope to the outside.
It's like, that is crazy.
It's crazy.
That's just an insane spot. And it was also, like, dirty, like, the wrestlers, I like it. Like, when Daniel Bryan used to flip to the outside and land in a way, you're like, that's not kosher. Like, he's not like Neville where he's an acrobat. He's just a guy who has the balls to flip onto another guy.
He'll just land, hard and awkwardly sometimes.
Charlotte makes it look like that, even though she is, like, a gymnast where she is doing it that way. Charlotte, like, is just blows me away. Like, her heel, her facial expressions, she's just, like, an amazing wrestler. I know Sasha normally is the one who gets the praise. She's the more beloved one. But Sasha, I'm not underwhelmed, but I'm just, it's more that I'm just so impressed with Charlotte that she's shadowing how good Sasha is for me.
I think that's right. But I also think Sasha, like, I like her better when she's a heel.
Yeah, but she also had that Eddie move during the match, which is amazing.
Right. But my favorite thing that she's ever done is when she had that match with Bayley, and Bayley's reaching for the ropes, and she's got, I think she's in the bank statement, she just starts stomping on her hands while it's happening. I forget which takeover that was. Just tremendous. I also think that they shot this better, because like NXT, I think that they shoot the women's matches differently, whereas I think that they shoot like Raw. Like, you don't want them to look, because anyone looks tiny when you're shooting them, but especially when you're in that ring and you're used to the guys, you have to kind of shoot them a little closer.
Yeah.
Just like in a movie, when a guy, like an actor, might be a shorter person, you want to make them look bigger. And I think they did a better job Monday of shooting them so they looked just like they filled the frame. And I don't know, I think it was the presentation was much better too.
I also think another thing I brought up before is they've mastered the makeup on the women.
Yeah.
In a way where, like, it doesn't bleed in a way where during the match they look, like, insane. Like, the, you know what I mean?
Like the woman from Brazil or something.
Yeah. They look like, and where, like, their hair extensions used to fall out during the match. And then it becomes, like, a cat fight as opposed to, like, a wrestling match.
Right.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And then they start pulling each other's hair. I noticed they stop doing that. Like, they don't do as much of that stuff. And when they do it, it's a big deal.
Right.
That's, so anyway, I don't know. It's just awesome. But then I would say at the other side of it, on SmackDown they debuted all the women to be like, hey, here's the women's division on SmackDown, and that was very underwhelming.
That felt like the old way of doing things to me, where it was like, we're all a bunch of women, we're all kind of bitchy, and we all don't like each other. Felt a very old.
Yeah,
when I say old,
like,
I mean 2 weeks
hot.
Old. Yeah, we're all super hot, we're all models, we're all, hopefully this will be a 2 year and we're out situation and we can go be on a TV show, hopefully.
Yeah, and they were all like paraded out like nothing, where it's like, I'm the hottest chick in Staten Island. And then it's like, here's the hot black chick. Uh-huh. And then it's like, you know what I mean? It was very, and then like, and here's the hottest one. Eva Marie, the worst wrestler of all of them, but she goes last because she's the hottest, according to Vince. You know what I mean?
I heard a theory. Somebody has a theory that the day after pay-per-views, are like the Raw after pay-per-view, is so good because Vince is exhausted from the pay-per-view.
Really?
So that's why the show is better, because he has less energy and time to sort of rewrite and make it bad. So, like, that adds up with how good Raw was, and then SmackDown was back to sort of the old crap, and Vince was definitely like, well, we'll debut all the women out here, and then they'll try to out-hot each other.
That is what it felt like.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's...
Do you notice they didn't give Ava Marie the mic?
Yeah,
They all spoke on the mic except Ava Marie. They're like, just put her last... Give her a big intro and have her just show her tits.
She literally opened her jacket and was like, here they are.
That was all she did.
Yep.
She came out, she was wearing like a long jacket, robe, and then she opened the robe, showed it to us, and then they cut the commercial.
Yep. And we're like, oh, the women's division is alive on SmackDown.
Yeah. Cool. What else happened? Oh, you know what we didn't talk about during... we briefly talked about the Sami Zayn-Owens match at Battleground. That was awesome.
So
that
good.
Match is great, just whatever. But back to Battleground, Orton return.
Oh yeah,
Orton was overshadowed by how great Jericho was, I thought, during that.
Yeah, I mean,
did you not enjoy Jericho?
No, I mean, I like Jericho. I think he's in a better spot than probably when we talked last about it. I know I like him. Orton is very sort of dull for
he's
me.
So
he's such a
boring.
Dull, boring kind of guy. He's a fine wrestler. He's definitely like a. B plus, but that's a, I don't know. He's good. He's very smooth in the ring. He looks good, but he's just a very kind of blank. He seems like a blank slate of a human being to me.
Well, the thing I like about Orton is that he's like, oh, I'm the Viper. And then there's this thing where he has like a snake vibe when he wrestles, and he's like very slick. Right. That I like about him. But when he's like playing the face.
Yes.
Now, I had a, to be fair, my buddies, Jason Shapiro and Arlen, who he doesn't want me to say his last name on the podcast anymore. My buddy, his name's Arlen Marmel. he lives in San Francisco. And he, they really dug, Orton at Battleground, because I guess they really bought into the his enhancement line, his knocking Brock for steroids, and the Viperville thing. I guess they dug it. I thought he was real boring and not matching Chris Jericho's energy at all.
I know. I agree with what you're saying.
Yeah,
I just think the whole the whole setup to it. Also, I was just already kind of going into it being like, ugh. And like the enhancement line is such a tame way of sort of like building up some heat between the two of them. Because it's also like, you guys all take crap. You're all taking crap. Like all you're really goofing on is that he got busted for it, I guess. Yeah,
he got busted for it, but man, I don't know. I guess
I don't know. It just like seems like it's good. Such a PG, naughty
you
way
to bring
do
it up,
it.
Though. But it's but it is weird to bring it. It's like one guy got busted for Adderall. One guy got busted for steroids. They're just like using that heat. I mean, they have to because it's authentic, and I like when stuff's real. So, like, yeah, give him crap for it, except for that Orton's also another guy that's been caught juicing before.
Yeah, of course. So, right? What's the, yeah, whatever.
So it's like, all right, like, I don't know. Whatever.
The whole match, I'm not that psyched about the Lesnar.
That match, I think, is like
Orton.
Kind of is useless, except for that my friends, Jason Shapiro and Arlen Marmel, lives in San Francisco.
Arlen Marmel from
Roll.
San Francisco?
And he. I wish I was going to say the area he lives in, but I don't know shit about San Fran. They think that Orton's going to win.
Really?
They think that they're going to punish Lesnar. That's how they're going to punish him, by putting Orton over. But this is stupid.
That's crazy. They're not going
to
do that.
No, Brock Lesnar is like the man, and he needs to just keep winning until his last match.
Yeah, they can't do that.
No,
that's
they wouldn't
crazy.
Even let Ambrose is the champion right now. They wouldn't even let him. They wouldn't even let him beat Brock Lesnar. Nobody beats Brock Lesnar. He's above the belt.
Now that you've said it, they might do it though. They might job him.
That would be a disaster. I mean, unless he uses a chair or something, you know.
Yeah, I don't know.
Or he's gonna give him like 40 RKOs in a row, or maybe Sable gets involved. I don't know.
I would like to see Sable return.
I would if Sable was the thing is that they don't need her. But if she came out with Heyman and Lesnar, like I would love it.
I think they should do it all, like make him more. I guess he can't UFC fight anymore.
I don't think
but
she has
make
any
it.
Interest in coming back.
I wonder.
Yeah, I don't know. We'll see.
We'll see.
I didn't like that Orton just beat The Miz. I mean, obviously Orton has to beat The Miz, but
yeah,
like,
but
why not
champ.
Build up the IC belt?
He's the champ. Yeah, I don't know why.
Why squash the eyes? Why like completely diminish your Intercontinental Champion, who's working in every way? Like he's working. Why? I don't understand.
The match.
That.
It's this is what I'm saying earlier. Like the match itself was like, I don't need to see The Miz and Orton. But if you're gonna do it and he's the champion, like let's give them 10, 12 minutes to really make it look competitive, to really put Miz over a little bit. I understand Orton has to. You know, win because he's coming back and he's got to build him.
No, I knew he had
up,
to win, but I was bummed that that's the
it's
match.
Like four
they
minutes, yeah, oh.
Yeah. I don't know.
SmackDown was,
and
just
also
like a
you just split them. You should elevate Miz because he's your IC champion on that new show, which needs him. Like the roster there needs a strong IC champ.
Yeah,
I don't know. That was weird.
I think Raw's going to look like SmackDown to next week. I'm worried that it'll just be bad again.
Oh really? I don't know. I don't know how the. It's gonna be interesting. I mean, Raw was great. I mean, also the rosters feel empty. Like it feels like they need more wrestlers because there's just like a. It looks almost like a predictable amount of matchups.
SmackDown got stuck with the guys who are a little more tired. The guys who like they've really just like stuck them in limbo. Excuse me, I'm burping now.
How
it's
dare
gross.
You? We're gonna have to switch out
Jesus.
His mic.
Jesus, can we cut? Yeah, can we cut this? Like there's more the Orton, like he's got Orton and Wyatt and Ziggler. And these are guys that they've just kind of like 50-50 booked into nothing.
Right.
Who are all great guys, by the way, and talented. But like, I just, that's what feels like SmackDown is their dumping ground for a lot of the guys.
No. Yeah. I mean, cause even it's like Cena, you're like, oh, well, if we put Cena on SmackDown, then that gives it all the credibility that it needs.
Yeah.
That felt like the logic. But Cena's already showing us that he's got one foot out the door by, like, hosting the ESPYs, doing the Today Show, doing all these movies. Like, he's already showing us that he's, you know, he's doing as many things as possible to become something outside of WWE right now, even though he works real hard and is going to.
If he'll do whatever they say. Right. If they ask him to keep going for another 15 years, he will.
Yeah. Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, that's, you know, is what we got now. So what, let's look at, let's take an inventory on SummerSlam here. We got, well, we got Finn Balor versus Seth Rollins. That's
awesome. I mean, wow. That's
amazing.
Who would have, honestly, who would have thought that that would be this year's SummerSlam main event?
But that's why you gotta, that's what I'm saying to everyone is like, relax about the split of the shows, because there's no chance Vince would have made that match if he didn't have Brock Lesnar versus Randy Orton on the card.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
He's not going to do that. So you have to just like let, you know, like you got to just, it's got to, we need the casual fan, because I have friends who are casual fans. They like wrestling. They were deep into it during the Attitude Era. And if they saw, oh, Triple H is headlining WrestleMania, they watch it.
Right. Or Lesnar. Everyone knows Lesnar now.
They see Lesnar Orton, they're like, oh, I'll check that out.
Right.
You know? And those guys hurt, like, they hurt the potential of wrestling. But look, this is a company that's public. This is a public company that is worth like $1 billion. They have to do certain things. So in that way, I remain positive. But the fact that we have those two titles, Ambrose versus Ziggler,
yeah,
that's pretty cool.
That is cool.
I mean, it does feel like a match that was beaten to death on Raw for no stakes.
Right, for a year. Like, just years of that, I feel like I watched.
It's a match we've seen.
Yes, yes. But now it's for the title.
It's for the title. Then we have those. So we have those three matchups are the only SummerSlam matches. And then we'll probably see the rematch. Charlotte will ask for her rematch.
And that'll be great as long as they give him 25 minutes.
Why do you think they gave Sasha the belt on Raw? Just because they were trying to push that Raw?
I think they were trying to push the Raw. I think they were trying to make it feel...
If it was SmackDown, I'd understand, because it was like, oh, this is our live SmackDown show we're trying to push. But Raw...
They went all out for that Raw, though, which is why I thought they were going to go all out with the SmackDown. Which, like, why not have American Alpha wrestle on the first SmackDown?
I don't know. They're debuting him next week with Shelton Benjamin, who's coming soon.
Soon. We don't know when he's coming back. Coming, he's 41 soon. Years old.
And he will be here soon.
American Alpha, you start the show off with, like, a 15-minute crazy tag match or something. Like, it's wild. Anyway.
Shelton Benjamin's probably not 41. He's probably 39.
You think they're lying about that?
Oh, no. You saw he's actually 41?
I looked it up. He's 41.
The only reason I said that is because he was Brock Lesnar's college roommate.
Oh, yeah, you're right.
They could have been a couple of years apart. That's totally you're right. And last time Lesnar came back, he was like, I'll come back if you sign Shelton Benjamin, right?
Right.
Yeah. Sweet. Well, yeah, I mean, I don't know. I'm very excited for SummerSlam. I'm actually, look, think about how this shaked out. We had that Shield 3-way, which everyone's like, why are they not saving this for SummerSlam? But then if you see what happened here, we got Finn versus Rollins.
Yeah.
We get, you know, I mean, we're getting a lot of awesome stuff, so I dig it. Cool. So wrestling's in a really interesting state. Now, the question is like, will SmackDown be a show that you want to watch 5 hours of programming on a normal week? That's a normal week.
I will probably end up going, was there anything good? And then I'll fast forward to the good thing and watch 20 minutes of it.
Yeah, I mean, I know on the podcast, I mean, guys, I have a life outside of wrestling. You know what I mean?
I'm going
to have to watch the Hulu.
I need to watch the rest of Stranger Things on Netflix.
I haven't finished Stranger Things at all. And that has cool 80s font that everyone's getting a huge boner for.
The synth music.
Yeah. Stranger Things, I like it. It's kind of annoying because everyone liked it even before they watched it.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Everyone's like, oh, my God. Just because it has like that 80, like everyone, oh, man, I live in like hipster.
Everyone's got a boner for Spielberg.
It looks 80s. It's the best. Yeah. I like it. It is a good show. I didn't finish it yet, but I love how everyone was going to like it no matter what.
Stop it. I haven't watched anything yet.
Yeah. We didn't say anything.
It's 80s.
Winona Ryder, calm down. Anyway, so I'm going to PWG Friday.
I'll be there.
Sweet. I'll see you there.
Bowl of tickets on sale tomorrow night. And I'm so anxious because I got buddies.
Friends coming in, right?
I got Joe Gervasio coming in from Illinois. I got Mike Kirkhoff.
Where do these guys work? Let's know exactly.
I don't know where he works.
People
my friend from
it.
Vermont, newscaster Mike Kirkhoff, flying in from Vermont. He's got a baby. Oh my God. All
the
friends are coming.
The baby will be a prop at Bola.
If we get tickets, yes.
No, I'm excited. When is Bola?
August? Labor Day weekend. The lineup is insane. It's unbelievable.
I know. Well, we'll see if I can get tickets to that. I don't know. They're mad expensive.
$70
for what is it? Is it general? Isn't it a whole weekend?
3 days. $370 a day.
So yeah, you're going every day.
We're trying.
You got 210. I didn't know how rich you are, man. All right. Yeah, and I'm going. I'm actually going up to San Francisco next week. I'm going to see Hood Slam.
Oh yeah, yeah, that's fun.
You've seen that?
I've never seen that.
Yeah, I'm excited. I've heard that that's really cool. So I'm going to PWG Hood Slam. So look, I'm getting my fill of non-WWE product. I'm actually, spoiler, I'm a scout. I'm scouting for WWE talent.
Oh wow!
I'm scouting for cruiserweights currently for the CWC.
Do you need a 32-year-old guy who should have gotten in a lot younger when he was younger?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Oh yeah, you got to help me. We got to get Hennigan on the show.
Yeah. I was hanging out with him at Comic-Con.
Tell him
he
to come
he
on the
snuck
show.
Me into a party at Comic-Con. This is a great story.
Yeah.
He called. I go, hey, I need to get in this party. And he goes, I found a way in. And there's a between like the smoking section and the building, they had put it there so people could smoke outside.
Right.
He found a little. There was room in between to sneak through. And I see him. He goes, come around here. And he's waving. And he goes, all right, I'm going to distract the guard. And you're going to pop in here.
They didn't see his and arm. I go, they didn't see how
well, no, the guard was on the other side.
Arm.
The guard was on the other side. So he goes and he distracts the guard. And then I snuck in. And then he like took my bag, and then he put me in a group of his friends, and we walked in.
What was the party?
It was a nerd Zachary Levi's Nerd HQ party.
Oh yeah. Mm-hmm. I'm glad I
did you ask for that?
Glad I was there. I'm bummed I missed it. I don't even know what that is. I'm just kidding. That's I'm sure it was awesome.
It was
I got to go to Comic Con. I had a press pass this year that I got for free that I just didn't go to Comic Con.
Mm-hmm.
I should have went. I should have sold it.
It was fun.
Yeah. I know. I'm sure at Comic-Con. I got to go. Next year, I will go to Comic-Con. Yeah. Alexis, we get this guy in here. It's John Hennigan. This guy's a looker.
Mm-hmm. He's in Bola, too.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, yeah. You told me. Who's he wrestling?
Seidel. Matt Seidel.
Oh,
formerly of Evan Bourne.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And
that's an awesome match.
Yeah. Oh, that's going to be great.
That's amazing.
Yeah. And they're gonna get
those
to go
guys
crazy.
Flip in there. Is it? It's in the same place PWG is. Those guys like flip in there. They hit the ceiling all the time.
Not they all, but they come close.
I see. No, I saw one of those guys who flipped one of those.
Well, they come close to the lighting.
He
fixtures.
Hit the lighting thing, and it was swinging back and forth.
Mm-hmm.
That PWG is insane. You should. Insane. Everyone should see it. You don't have to be a wrestling fan. You should go. It is the coolest thing.
Yeah, I've brought a lot of non-wrestling fans, and they're like, "This is insane. What are you watching?"
Sweet. Okay. So. Oh yeah. All right. Plug. I got to give a plug out here, and we'll get your plugs. August 19th, SummerSlam weekend. The Friday at midnight at UCB in Los Angeles, the Franklin location. We're having the UCB SummerSlam-tacular. You got to do something.
I'll do something. All right. What day is it?
The Friday night of SummerSlam weekend. We're going to have a fun show. We're going to record it. We're going to broadcast it on the podcast. So come live, come support it. Cheer all the goofs and spoofs.
The 19th of August?
Yeah.
All right, good, I'll be back.
Sick, good. So you can get your tickets. I don't know if it's up on the schedule yet. I think it might be. But yeah, come. I'll be hosting it as Hulk Hogan like I always do. Racist Hulk Hogan or whoever I choose to spin it. Yeah, cool. And remember, rate and subscribe. You can follow us on Twitter at COW Podcast. Where do we find you?
Oh, Twitter,
Carlson.
Fat Carlson, PHATCARLSON, on all the different social media things. That's it. I don't know. I got nothing else to plug right now.
All right, come on. Don't sell yourself. You got all kinds of things.
No,
plug. He's just being modest. All right. So let's see what happens.
Yeah.
Yeah?
Let's see.
All right. Hey, keep watching wrestling. Kisses.
This has been a UCB Comedy production. Check out our other shows on the UCB Comedy Podcast Network.